While you remain standing like that, open your Bible to Romans chapter 8, and together we shall read 1 verse 31. Everybody, together we're going to read that scripture. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The church will say, God bless you, be seated. If God be for us, who will be against us? Who? Amen. Sister Justina was giving a testimony when I came in here, and she said she was working at the international airport, and the job, according to them, one of the conditions for that job is that all the women must wear trousers. Not that if a woman wears skirt or tie wrapper, they cannot do the job. But they just decide that all women must wear trouser. Maybe the head of that their company maybe comes from Christ Embassy Church. Because they all claim to be Christians now. And everybody needs a job at this hour. So does not have an alternative. Praise God. And yet, here is she. Her faith is against her wearing trousers. My man must work. Is that not the reason? I said there are different types of fishes. One of the species of fishes is crayfish. Crayfish, not straight, but not fish. But it's a conditional fish, crayfish. What you make and bend, now condition make crayfish bend. And it's not only that. Praise God. That is what faces every believer today. And that is what will stand you out as an overcomer or a loser. Every one of us. In this age, somebody told me, one of those preachers, under grace, why are you bothered about how I dress? Under grace, why are you disturbing the people how to dress? It is what is inside that matters. Why are you stressing this dress thing at this end time? Appearance, especially on women. And I said something here. In every age, and at every given time, God will test your faith. Everybody say, I am this. I am a believer speaking in tongue. I fast, I do this. And everybody looks at you and says, you are a Christian. Then God drop the test. That testimony and many more reminds me of Luke chapter 18. Let's read it. There's a story that was given here in Luke chapter 18, from verse 18. Luke 18, verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments." This is where I am going. "Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witnesses. Honor thy father and thy mother." That is all the 10 commandments. Jesus says, "Hey, you know the commandment the Lord gave Moses for you." Verse 21. And the rich ruler said, and he said, "All these have I kept from my youth." See? From my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And Jesus said, and when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" And my emphasis now is verse 27. And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. I don't know how many of you catch the meaning of that statement. What he's saying there is that you think it's impossible for a man to sell everything that he had just to follow God. You think it's impossible? As far as the man is concerned, as a human being, it is impossible. But when God steps into the life of that man, it will become possible. When God steps into the life of that man, it will become possible. A young woman on Tuesday, and she came, somebody, one of our sisters, they met somewhere. She's a nationality of Burundi, but lived and grew up in Europe. And I happened to see one of her videos on the net. And she's a very popular woman on the net, on Facebook or whatever social media you people know. In fact, somebody was telling me that people who follow her, you know, the statistics there is over 45,000. And every day, we were interviewing her on Tuesday with the Bright TV. I was interviewing her. And then they were streaming it on her Facebook while it was going on live. People were watching her. And we were surprised. Before, while immediately it opened, there were over 3,000 people around the world that were listening to what we were saying. And she said, she was as worldly can be. Although she was a Christian, according to her, they were brought up, even her father was a pastor in Burundi before they moved over to Europe. They brought them up. You know, holiness, she still showed me that her ear is still not pierced. Her parents did not believe in the wearing of earrings. But when her father moved over to Europe, the spirit of Europe caught him and he began to compromise. And so he flowed there. And before you know what, they are wearing their trousers, and of course, what is wrong with it? Of course, she was not born again. That you are a pastor gave birth to you does not make you born again. Okay, now. And she said, one day she had an encounter. And that encounter, that is why I say with men, these things may be impossible, but with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. And she said that one day, something just came over her. She just felt she needed God. This life she's living, she needed God. And he who seeks God will find God. Amen. That means he was seeking eternal life. It's not enough. That's everyone that will find true experience with God. And your Christian faith can never go above your experience with God. When you see somebody is afraid of God, afraid of living useless life, of offending God, there is something behind it. There is an experience. The experience is not seeing vision. The experience is not hearing a voice. The experience is not receiving any gift. The experience is not a fire. There is an experience that you meet that after that your life never remains the same. Amen. I pray that somebody listening to me now will find that experience and your life will never be the same again. When the Bible says, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All of us that claim we are Christians, can you stand and say, I once was lost, but now I am found? Is there any past you have that you can make reference to, that you can compare to your present and say, I thank God I met with him? And you will discover something. This about appearance. The emphasis is always on the women. Always on the women. Because they are the one that the spirit of fashion catches the most. That's the truth. And this girl said, she decided to take a 7 days fast. She says, God gave her, has given her a grace that sometimes she fasts 11 days, no food, no water. And she's not fasting for healing. She never fasts for any demon to leave her. All she wants is, I want more of you. More of you. And she said, she attended a church in Norway. That is where she is. I think it's Norway also. Where they allow them to wear trousers. Where women dress, you know, the modern Pentecostal churches. She said, when during those 7 days, one of the days, she now had an experience and the Lord met with her. Visited her. She narrated the experience. And the Lord specifically brought the angel. When we were interviewing her, a scripture that has, you know, I've been very disturbed to get the meaning of that scripture all these years. It was during that interview. She made a statement and my mind went straight to that scripture. I got the meaning of that scripture. I will tell you shortly. And she said, the angel dressed like a woman and told her, this is how you are supposed to dress, and told her, showed her with her head covered, and said, you should cover your head when you are in worship. You should cover your head as a Christian woman. He said, because of the angels. Do you know there's a scripture like that? Okay, let's read the 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 10. Now, yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10. Verse 10. Concerning head covering. Remember, before we get to verse 10, amen. Verse 4 and verse 5. Verse 4 and verse 5. It says, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonored his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesied with her head uncovered, dishonored her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. Verse 7. Verse 7 says, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause, verse 10, ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Because of the angels. And for years I have tried to understand the cause of the angels. What has the angels got to do with this? I just couldn't understand. And she said, she didn't know Bible, she didn't know any scripture, she didn't know such scripture. She didn't even know there's anything like that in the Bible, but the angel kept telling her, this is how you should dress as a Christian. If you want to live a life pleasing before me. And kept repeating, because of the angels. Because of the angels. And sometimes, people don't even know. Listen very well. Angels of God are holy beings. Angels of God are holy beings. I have tried to understand how somebody will say he has a gift and he hears the voice of angels. She hears the voice of angels. He sees vision. And there's an angel that is always ministering to you. And no matter what lifestyle you live, that angel will continue to be talking to you. You go and commit fornication, you shake head to finish. The anointing will flow. That angel will just appear. He works with you. When you are committing fornication, he will stand and wait for you. When you finish, they will go continue, they go. I can speak authoritatively based on the infallible word of God that that is not an angel of God working with you. Angels of God are holy angels. Everyone that has received a genuine visitation of an angel or constantly an angel visiting, if it is a true angel, very soon, he will disappear from you. Until the day you repent, then he will come back. Because they can't behold uncleanness. That is a mystery of the things of the Spirit that gifted people don't understand. The gift and calling of God is without repentance. The gift there is ability. But that ability is always enabled by God himself. The ability is there and Satan can also come and enable it. That's why we are only channels. It's a mystery. Every genuine gift, the day you mess up, He will step aside. That is when you begin to feel empty. And stepping aside includes unforgiveness in the heart. It's not only fornication. It includes that mouth always lying, gossiping. All this nonsense unbelievers do, you are involved there. That same ear that he comes to talk to you, the same spirit man that you are, that he comes to relate with, is there again, receiving all nonsense through the type of music you hear, through the type of places you associate yourself with. When you do that, uncleanness is all over you, it will withdraw. You know why I'm emphasizing this? Some genuinely gifted sister here today will recognize what I'm saying now and know the reason why you are no more spiritual as you used to be. Then you will just repent today, and before you leave this camp, even this night, the angel will come back. Every ministry, every gift you have, there is an angel that ministers that grace to you. Praise God. That is the emphasis. The problem with Christianity is that we don't know that it is a life of sacrifice. That's the problem many of us have. We don't know that the Christian faith is a life of sacrifice. And so in this age, that is where the difference is. We are confronted with a requirement. And God does not have double standards. He cannot allow you to dress anyhow you like and then come to another sister and say, you don't dress like that. That is why we have the terminology election. God knows his own. God has his own. But God came to her personally and do that. So if I am also to go that way, he will come to me personal. But there was something the Lord Jesus Christ said. He said, there were other widows in Zarephath. In Israel. There were other women in Israel. But God did not send his prophet to any other one, but to that one in Zarephath. Why did he choose her? It's because that one, once you say God, you say, he will bow. That's the reason. Others will argue, this is the only one I have. This is the last one. You are coming. That God knows. He say, even this one not feed us. Where they bring you, come meet me. Say, me could feed you. I beg. You don't know the condition. You don't know the economy now. You don't know what is happening. But this one, once he hear God will say, he will surrender. And that is the kind of person that God can visit. Hallelujah. Once you show a true child of God anything in the scripture, you say, what? It's in the Bible? I think 2 years back or so, last year, 2 years back, I said I was in Holland. We are ministry. I was ministry. Three sisters, they were sitting in front like this. And during question time, after I had preached, I said so many things, ask your questions. They were sitting there in their jeans trousers with all the things they dress up. And they said, can you show me in the Bible where a woman cannot wear trouser? And I asked her, you are a Christian, you have never seen any scripture that stops you from wearing trouser in the Bible? She said, no. Then I told her, if I show you now, will you stop wearing trouser? She said, if it's in the Bible, why not? By the time I showed them the scripture, the three of them, their eyes, it's like, I said, oh, you are seeing it for the first time? They say, yes. And I said, now that you see it, what happened? The three of them, almost like a song. No, we will stop wearing trousers. It's in the Bible. They didn't know. That's why God brought them to that program. You, your own, you come to Pride Assembly, you hear us on television, you are there. Your judgment, eh? Because you have no excuse again. You hear it. When you are coming to church, you will dress like one of us. Immediately you leave, you display who you are. And that is the greatest contradiction I have seen in life. You don't believe what we believe. Why do you follow us? The thing you like is a market. Go to Oregu in Lagos. All the churches in Oregu, in the whole of Oregu, there is no deeper life there. That Oregu Road, there is no deeper life there. Go there on Sunday, you see the people that are going to church. That's where you belong. You are coming to our side. If you say you don't like choosing, you pass choosing, go behind choosing, we are worse than them. So don't come to Ijesha. Yet, you will come. After they talk, so, this man talk too much. And we talk. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The only reason is because you have not yet met with Christ. Today you will meet him, somebody. If you have not met him, you will meet him. And there is no better place to be than to be in Christ. I'm telling you, I am not repeating what Bible says. I am telling you what I have found out. Until you have found that out, you will be following him conditionally. Until you have that experience, you will be giving him conditions. Some people even give him ultimatum. If you don't do this for me, by so-so time, and they go. It's because you don't know who he is. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. You are seeking peace. You are looking for peace. That's why men go and drink beer. That's why they take codeine and tramadol. They smoke igbo. That's why they even fornicate. Looking for momentary pleasure. But a songwriter, after he met with Christ, he said, there is peace and contentment inside him. He found peace. He found peace. And he found contentment. Hallelujah. When this sister, she said, when she met with the Lord, he said the first person she even had problem with was her mother. Every mother wants the daughter to go and marry. Will you get husband like this? Will you get husband like this? Which one be all this one now? And she kept saying, this is how the Lord Jesus said I should appear. This is how he said I should appear. And the next thing was persecution. She's also a musician. Those who follow her, you know, she's always, you know, releasing music. So she was the choir master of the church. And she was also the interpreter. They preach in Swahili in their church, and then she will interpret in the Norwegian language. And so all of a sudden, the choir members are saying, what is this? Why are you appearing like this? Why are you dressing like this? She's saying, the Lord Jesus said, this is how I should appear. And the next thing is, the pastor began to persecute her. What is this nonsense? What is this nonsense? Don't come and spoil our ministry. What is this? What is this? And so before you know what, she said she knew she wouldn't cope. She decided to hand over that role of choir master, choir mistress. She resigned. Now she said one day, the pastor was preaching. A visiting pastor came and they told her to come and interpret. Then the man began to preach. She is now interpreting. And he vowed up to say, there are some of these people that are creeping into the church to spoil the church. They will not wear earring. They will cover their head. They will dress from head to toe, use their dress and be sweeping the ground and say that is Christianity. And she said she's supposed to interpret that. She said, She said she looked, she said, He said, the man said, interpret. She thought she looked at her pastor. The pastor was saying, interpret. Okay, that is she. You can see her on the screen there. That is she there. If you can watch her on the screen, some of you have seen that. That's she there on the screen. That's one of her songs she was singing. Are you prepared to go home? Are you prepared to be with the Lord? Okay. Hallelujah. And then she said, I should stop and say, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm doing this so that I will not create confusion. I will not, she just whispered it and painfully was interpreting what the man said. And after that day, she went back and knew she didn't believe. She said, the Lord, from that time, the Lord visits her regularly. She hears him. He talks to her. He said, when she left there, she was feeling so bad. And said, the Lord met her and said, I purposely allowed that setting for you to know that you don't belong there anymore. And that is how she stopped. They say one prayer she prays is, Lord, connect me to the people that are connected to you. So that's her prayer point. Lord, connect me to the people that are connected to you. That's how from nowhere she got to know about one other woman that had the same kind of experience with her, who was a prostitute, I've forgotten what the name is, but she looks popular because those of you on social media, you know. In UK, she flew from nowhere to UK to meet, and she gladly, when she had her testimony, gladly received her, stayed with her, and then, you know, for God to just have somebody to comfort her in this new experience. And not just that, God told her he was going to use her. And out of this 45,000, 90% of them are women that believe her testimony, share with her, they have fellowship together every time on the social media, they have particular time, they meet every, you know, particular period. And she will just come, go to any country, just go on the street and be sharing with the young people and be just like that. And enjoy herself. And that is what brought her to Nigeria. And she's still there praying. And she met in a program a sister from this church. Who told her about the ministry. And she said, don't worry. If that place is of God, I will know. Hallelujah. Somewhere in Europe, she said, one of her followers directed her before to Bride Assembly Church. If you know about Bride Assembly, and so she has heard about it. And she said, last Sunday, she decided to come and worship with us. She was in the church. Amen. According to her, she said, that immediately she crossed the gate, she entered the auditorium, something happened to her for a sign that God was here. She said the worship session was going on. She felt so heavenly, so heavenly. She said until the anointing was about to pack her, she had to kneel down where she was and be worshiping God on her knees. She said the power of God was so much upon her, and she knew that God was among us. Hallelujah. And she said there is a particular grace she lost. There is a particular grace she lost. And she's been crying and asking God to restore that. She said, one of the ministers, you know, she was coming for the first time, she doesn't know anybody. He said, was ministering and said, there is somebody here. He said, the angel that you lost for some time, the Lord has just restored. And she said, immediately he said that, he said, that angel came back to her in the auditorium. And then she knew, this place is of the Lord. Are you not happy that God is among us? God is among us. The Lord is among us. Praise the Lord. You believe he's among us, then jump up and shout, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Say it again. Say it very loud.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
God bless you. Be seated.